Fascinating machlokas in the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah has two different opinions as to whether Ahasuerus was a wise, intelligent king, Melech Chacham, or whether he was a Melech Tipesh, a stupid king, an ignorant king. And I just wanted to share with you potentially, look at the story of the Megillah according to each of these theories. I'll start with the Melech Tipesh. We'll start off assuming for a moment that Ahasuerus was not very wise, not a profound, sophisticated thinker, but rather shallow thinker, a simpleton, not a man of much depth at all. The story begins to make a lot of sense right away. Ahasuerus throws his party, with a party for 180 days, if I'm not mistaken. 180 days is a tremendously long time for a party. It's like 6 months straight of just being drunk. Even in like the, you know, the University of Maryland's of the world, they stop drinking Monday through Wednesday. Meaning to go every day straight is really out of control. So number one is you begin to already understand a little bit about the culture. It's not the most intellectual environment, not University of Maryland. But Shushan Habira, in ancient Persia, and he wants to show off his wife, so he calls down Vashti to dance in front of everyone. Again, you know, every person is Ahasuerus, and she says no, so he doesn't know what to do. Not being a particularly wise individual, he asks his, you know, his advisory staff, he asks his assistants, his cabinet, his board, and they tell him, listen, you got to kill her. So Ahasuerus is like, well, if you tell me so, I got to kill her. Wakes up from his drunken, you know, state, and he realizes he misses her, he mourns her, he wishes she wasn't dead. Therefore, you got to replace her, so you bring in a new wife. And again, Ahasuerus not really looking for an intellectual give and take. What does he decide? Let's bring all the most beautiful basulas in the world together. There's only one reason the guy wants only a basula. Puts them all together, and he chooses Esther to be his queen. And again, you don't really get the impression there's too much intellectual depth, there's give and take over here. Haman kind of walks over to Ahasuerus and says, hey, there's this one nation that I want to kill. And I said, all right, no problem, go kill them. You know, there's a nation that's scattered around, we should kill them. And it's Enosh Shaveh for the Melech to keep them alive. So he's like, okay, fine, let's kill them. Again, not much thought, a very quick decision about killing people, just like he made about Vashti. You know, it's almost like shocking. You know, he's up in his bed late at night one night. And for starters, Esther arranges his party for Ahasuerus, Haman, and her, the three of them together. He's like, okay, great, let's go to a party. It's just so weird. Could you imagine, you know, you, your husband, and his top assistant at a party that you're inviting him to? Like, what does the husband think? Shouldn't he, like... Shouldn't he think something suspicious about Haman? But like seemingly he doesn't. He just goes to the party blindly. Then he's up late at night one night and has no idea how to return their favor to Mordechai for saving his life. And lo and behold, who walks in the room? Haman. And Ahasuerus, completely oblivious to the competitive relationship Mordechai and Haman have with each other, says, hey, Haman, perfect. I'm looking for an idea. Could you think of some way of honoring a person who I want to honor? And Haman, who thinks it's referring to himself in a very conniving way, says, well, why don't you put him on the king's horse and give him the king's crown and give him the king's garb and give him the king's scepter and run around the town screaming, Kacha yesel esh shemel chafetz b'kara. And Ahasuerus, mamish like an idiot, says, great idea, Haman. Why don't you do that for Mordechai? You know what it reminds me of? If you've ever seen the movie Aladdin, it reminds me of the Sultan and Jafar. The Sultan's like this very naive, pudgy little smart, you know, stupid guy who like is somehow bumped into being the king, completely being controlled by this conniving, sinister character, you know, with a very evil-looking, twirly mustache, and he's controlling him, and the king has no idea. The king prides himself on being an excellent judge of character. And the bird says not. You know what I'm talking about, that scene where... And that's like kind of the picture you have.
The ball's controlling him with a stick. That's
And Ahasuerus has no idea he's being controlled. He has no, you know, he has, you know, the Sultan has no idea he's being controlled. Rather, he has no clue. He's totally oblivious. And again, you know, Esther throws a second party, and Ahasuerus walks in, and all of a sudden she's like, "That man wants to kill my people." And Ahasuerus is like totally blindsided. "Really? You, Haman? Didn't you think, you know, at all when you let Haman wipe out all of the Jewish people? Didn't you remember that? You know, you like, it's totally shocked." He walks out to the party like has no idea. And all of a sudden he comes in the house and Haman's like on the bed. Ahasuerus like totally misunderstands, you know, Haman begging for forgiveness for some type of sexual aggression. And he says, "That's it, forget it, kill Haman right now." And you really get the impression he's like this big stupid oaf. Whether he's, you know, Mama's like, you know, as bright as a sultan, but a little less kind. However, there's another opinion in the Gemara. The second opinion of the Gemara says Ahasuerus is very wise. He's Melech Chacham. He's a profound thinker. He's intelligent. He's a person of depth, nuance of thought, of sophistication. And Lechora, in order to understand the story this way, we have to make one small change, which is something else that Chazal said. Ahasuerus was not born into majesty, but he conquered it. And even if you won't say that, but certainly if you do, it's helpful. Ahasuerus is a person paranoid, worried, because when you have a monarchy of 127 different nations, there's got to be variety and diversity. And he's really worried about, do all 127 nations identify with me? Do they follow my lead? Do they follow my path? Or do they want to have civil war and start a coup and revolt and rebel for their own independence, the desire to self-govern each of themselves? So he throws this unbelievable party and invites them all in because it's important they should feel identity with the Persian Empire. And you know, want to know a great way they can feel a sense of identity with the Persian Empire, with the Persian monarchy? You have the queen walk around and show her beauty. Mother Persia, someone that they could really be proud of. Someone they could look at and say, "Wow, this lady, we identify with such a culture." But Vashti doesn't want to go. And if Vashti rebelliously, in other words, Vashti, in an act of rebellion, is unwilling to listen, you know, walk in front of the people, well, how are all the guests going to see that? If he can't control his own life, then you want to know what? If his wife can be rebellious, if his wife can have a coup, so what about all the 127 nations? He doesn't want to kill her. He has no interest at all in doing that. But he asks his wise men because he wants a second opinion. He knows he's biased. He knows he's no Gebedah. He knows he's, you know, impartial. Not impartial. He's partial. And they say, "You got to kill her." He wakes up from his drunken state, and he wants a new wife, and he wants another beautiful Vesula out there who can represent Miss, you know, Mrs. Mother Persia. And the truth is, I want to reform and point out this next little small point, which is, that's maybe why Ahasuerus had no idea what religion she was from. You want to know what? The less religious she is, the better it is. The less of her own identity, the better she is. We want her to be Mother Persia. And continuing along, Ahasuerus is very happy with what he has, but he's a little bit skeptical, a little bit nervous, because Haman starts asking everyone to bow down to Haman. As long as Haman was working for Ahasuerus, and even when Haman said, "You know, let's kill the Jews," he asks why, and the response is because they're scattered amongst the nation. They're not at one with us. There's no sense of identity with us. They're not on the same page as us. And that's exactly the right button to press with Ahasuerus. And Ahasuerus, being the paranoid person without control and power, understandably so, especially after the Big Sun and Seresh incident, Ahasuerus is really scared someone's going to poison him or try to take over or dethrone him. And therefore, when Haman wants to kill the Jews for being separate and being scattered and being independent individuals, Ahasuerus is patient and willing to do that. Haman, however, gets a little greedy and wants people to start bowing down to him. So Ahasuerus begins to get a little nervous. After all, he's a paranoid person. Is Haman interested in my kingdom, in my covet, in my glory, or is he interested in my splendor, or in his own? And it's a good question. And then all of a sudden, Esther invites the three of them to a party, and you can imagine what happens with Ahasuerus, what he thinks. Wow, this is really a little bit scary. You know, why is Haman invited to the party with me and my wife? Why in my anniversary is there another man at the party? There's a sense of Esther's kind of playing against the Haman card of Haman thinks he is, running for who knows what. And all of a sudden, Ahasuerus decides one night when he can't go to sleep, I'm going to give Haman a test. Let's see if he really identifies with me. Haman, what do you think I should do with a man that I want to honor? And Haman falls right into the trap. His arrogance gets in the way and and blinds him. Blinded by his own arrogance and no sense of clarity of vision, Haman says, put him on the horse and give him the king's scepter and give him the king's crown and give him the king's garb and run around the streets singing Kachia Selishema Chavetz Bekaro. And Ahasuerus, in an attempt to try to tell Haman, you are not the king. I'm the king. I can tell you to do what I want and you have to listen, commands Haman to pull around Mordechai, his nemesis, his archenemy. In a subtle way of saying, I'm the king. I want you to be careful that I'm the king and not you, because this is what I can do to you. And again, there's a second party. And at the second party, she accuses Haman. And Ahasuerus has already built up an animosity towards Haman. He's built up a paranoia. He's scared. He's afraid. He's angry. He's distaste for Haman now. But he knows Haman's an old trusted advisor. She kind of walks outside just to see what's... Not an impatient man, a wise man, takes his time before he makes a decision, comes back in, and all of a sudden he notices Haman on the bed with Esther. Imi b'bayis, this is what you're going to do. Mamish, in my own house, with my own wife, this is what you're going to do, and he decides to kill Haman as well. And the truth is, I think Chazal's machlokas is so unbelievably sharp that there are two different ways of looking at the story of Ahasuerus. Is he profound and wise and a thinker? Is he a buffoon and an idiot and shallow, a simpleton? There's a major machlokas in the Gemara. In addition to explaining the Gemara, I'd just like to add in one little nuance, which is, it could even be, intentionally, was the Megillah written this way. It could be the Megillah was intentionally designed to portray Ahasuerus in a way where you don't know if he's wise or if he's shallow. You don't know if he's chacham or tipish. You don't know his IQ. And the point may very well be, message of the Megillah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Hashgach HaPratis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through behind the scenes mechanisms, has the capability to save Klal Yisrael. He will save us, he'll protect us. And even if it doesn't look promising, no matter what type of king he's up against, we are up against, whether it's a wise king, whether it's a foolish king, or anything in between, the message of the Megillah is that Hashem is watching over Klal Yisrael, protecting Klal Yisrael, guarding Klal Yisrael, with Klal Yisrael, insofar as that he can allow for this type of things to happen. He can allow for the unbelievable amount of coincidences that need to take place in order for the salvation to come true. He can facilitate them. It doesn't make a difference what type of king it is. We don't want you to think it's Dafka Melech Chacham or Dafka Melech Tipish that Hashem can operate the way he does. It doesn't make a difference. And therefore, it could even be the story was written with a sense of vagueness, not clear exactly who Ahasuerus was, in order to illustrate the more important message that Hashem is the one behind it. It may look like there's a Melech out there, but HaMelech, the one who's a little bit hidden, is really the one pulling the strings, even if it looks like it's the Melech pulling the strings, no matter what Melech he is. It's really HaMelech, according to Chazal, the Hey, HaMelech is Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Megillah. Could be it's HaMelech, could be it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulling the strings, even though it looks like it's the power of man.